Colorado. Last year was the first year we were back for quite some time. So it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Even on like the kind of gross days where it was like gray and cold, the mountains are still just so beautiful.
Right. Where did you go in Colorado?
We went to Keystone.
Oh, I think.
And then we went to Winter Park.
Mm.
Yeah, we were in Winter Park for a little bit.
Dang, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful, beautiful skiing. But this year, my winter break is going to be a little bit different because my brother is getting married. Yes.
That's so exciting.
Yes, January 7th, the Lippman household is having the first wedding of our immediate family.
How do you feel about it?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Yeah?
It's going to be so much fun. I love my future sister-in-law, and I think they will make a beautiful married couple, and I can't wait to see them together.
Are you giving a speech at the wedding?
I actually am giving a speech, which I'm pretty nervous for.
Nah.
So I was originally going to give one, and then my brother was like, oh, we want to, you know, keep it short, and so Molly, you'll just give one at the out-of-towner dinner. And I was like, very angry. And so I kind of chewed him out, and then he's like, okay, fine, I'll give you a speech during the main event. And then I didn't really think about it, but now I have to give a speech during the main event in front of like 300 people.
And what is the setup of that? Like, where is it going to be?
I think it's going to be like in just a ceremony hall with like a dance floor, and mm-hmm. I'll just get up there in front of it. I think everyone will be at tables, and I'll just get up there and be like, hi, I'm the sister of the groom.
It's going to be awesome.
And give my speech.
Do you have any embarrassing anecdotes about him you're going to share?
I don't really. I think I'm going to keep it sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I'm funny enough to truly pull off a funny speech.
Nah.
Because if you go halfway, it's super cringy. I think, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's better just to speak from the heart. And if I give a sentimental speech and it's like mediocre, people will be like, oh, okay, like that was really nice, you know?
That's
instead
true.
Of like me trying to make jokes and people be like, yikes, that
was
uncomfy.
You could still embarrass him a little.
Yeah.
But
I might bring some stories
out of they'll love that though.
Woodwork. Yeah. So it's currently 9 p.m. You are listening to WMFO in Medford. If you'd like to call in, the number is 855-915-9636. That is 915-WMFO, actually. I guess it's kind of an outdated thing, but because we all have smartphones now, but the numbers correlate to like different letters.
Oh, yeah.
On the telephone. But I guess they kept it on the iPhone a little bit. Let's see. Are there numbers?
Yeah, I think you can still see them on the keypad.
Yeah, you're right. And, oh, let's see. And coming up, we have a little PSA for you. So here is a PSA about driving and texting.
It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So, that was a good reminder from the texting and driving folks that we should never text and drive. So thank you to them for reminding us. So Fien, any reflections this past semester? I know it's been kind of a long one for both of us. Fien and I have met many occasions in the library late at night. It's been a hard time, but tell me about your semester.
Yeah, I don't know. I think honestly, last semester, I really tried to commit myself to everything that I wanted to do, and I just realized that I couldn't actually fully give myself to anything mm-hmm. that I was doing.
Yeah.
And really hit a wall for like the first time in my life. And I think this semester that has just made me much more conscious of like all the things I've been doing. Like,
yeah,
it was bad last year, but I think this year I've just been much more able to like handle school and like see the people I want to see and do the things I want to do. And I don't know, it's been more of a balance than I was able to do last year.
Yeah, that's great. I think college has so many opportunities, and there are so many different things you can get involved in, but you really only get out of it what you put in.
Right.
And so if you totally invest, it really doesn't even matter what you do. It's just if you put everything you have into something, you get it out. So it's really hard if you spread yourself thin and there are only so many hours of the day.
Right.
And unfortunately, too many hours get devoted to schoolwork.
Yeah.
So. But I'm glad that you feel more purposeful in all the stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
So you're also a writer for The Daily. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that has actually been one of the coolest things I think I've gotten to do at Tufts, because I write for the features section, which is long form, 1,000-word articles, and we just look really deeply into different issues on campus, off campus. We interview a lot of people. So I've done a few fun ones. I got to interview two students, Kingsley and Timmy, about their startup, which is aiming to increase diversity in technology.
That was awesome.
Really cool. Yeah, super cool cause. I also interviewed the executive director of the Somerville Homeless Coalition.
Wow.
Which was really interesting.
What is the Somerville Homeless Coalition?
So it's basically just a network of like homeless shelters and resources available for people struggling with homelessness in Somerville.
That's awesome.
And he was at Tufts to give a talk about gentrification in Somerville.
Yeah.
And the impact that the Tufts student body has on gentrification in the
which
area.
Which is huge.
Which is very heavy. And I especially, listening to him, I had just signed a lease on a house that was definitely a very high rent for the area. And I felt like I had no choice signing the lease because there's such an absence of housing.
Right.
But it really made me realize that there are also people trying to live here who got their houses before students were trying to move in.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was really eye-opening. I think it's cool because The Daily kind of pushes you to get out of the Tufts community too.
Yeah.
Like, you get to look really deeply into things that are happening at Tufts, but also the relationship Tufts has with the neighborhood it's in.
Yeah.
So it's been really valuable for that reason, I think.
That's great. I recently started reading The Daily, maybe about a month ago. I just kind of had a routine. I have a class in the engineering building, and I just come downstairs and they're spread out on the table, and I grab one and I read it for 25-30 minutes, and it's really relaxing and enjoyable. And I honestly have been educated about things that I wouldn't have otherwise heard about, because there are plenty of daily articles that get a lot of hype, like especially during the whole Greek life art like fiasco last year. I don't know what noun to call it. Events of Greek life last year. There was so much daily coverage of that. But I learned that we're getting a new credit system next semester and how that's going to affect us. And it's really cool. And I'm also, like you said, learning about things outside the Tufts community.
Right.
I know you did a special feature on the birthday of Somerville. Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct. The 175th birthday party of Somerville.
Yes.
The neighborhood.
Yes.
It was not an event to be missed. We had a cake. We were at the border of Somerville and the old neighborhood it was part of, and the mayor gave a speech.
Incredible.
And I don't know, it was actually really interesting.
Wow.
There's also a youth drumming group that was there.
Ooh.
Started by this Brazilian guy.
That's
who
cool.
was just trying to get disadvantaged youth playing instruments, and they performed. It was actually like really well done. So I got to talk to a lot of them too.
That's awesome.
And they're all just like super hyped to be interviewed.
Awesome. So we have another caller. So, caller, I'm going to put you right on air. Here we go. Caller, are you with us?
Hi, yes.
Caller, what's your name?
My name is Mary, but I was going to ask Molly to guess who I am.
Oh, your name is Mary. Are you Miss Erheim by chance?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's how are you doing, Miss Erheim?
Is this Molly? Are we on the air?
Yes, you are straight on the air.
I completely blew it. I was going to have you guess five questions and try to figure out who I was.
Oh, man. That would have been a really fun game. But I would love to ask you five questions anyways.
Feel free. I have a question for you, too.
Okay, great. Okay, my first question is, where are you calling from?
Calling from Wynwood, Pennsylvania.
Mm. And for those of you who don't know, Fina and I have actually been to Wynwood, Pennsylvania, and stayed with the Urheims mm-hmm. for a Frisbee tournament. And it was a lovely weekend,
it
I would
so
say.
Nice.
It was, I know a lot of us miss home, and so it was really nice being able to be part of your home, Miss Urheim.
We loved having you, and I thought that would be part of the fun of having you guess, because maybe you'd figure out, you know, through the questions. I really blew it. I didn't find myself.
Oh, that's okay. So did you say you had a question for me?
I did. I was listening to you guys. It was really fun to hear your conversation. And my question for you is, going home for the holidays, do you have advice for parents for things that we do that make your vacation back at home really good, or things we do that actually are problematic?
Yeah, that is such a great question. I think this is kind of a wishy-washy answer, but the general answer is that every parent and child relationship is so different that I think it's hard to make blanket statements, but I can kind of talk about my relationship with my parents, which I'm sure is pretty similar to Margot and your relationship.
Right.
I love spending time with my parents. And I love eating dinner and going out to lunch, maybe like meeting them at work or something. But also I enjoy seeing my friends. So I think from the student's perspective, it's really hard to time manage. And I think I would like my parents to keep in mind that I love seeing them and I'm home to see family, but that there are other kind of time priorities that I might also want to adhere to.
Yeah, I would agree
right.
with that. Because I get so excited to go home. I just really miss my parents. But I just really struggle to decide like how much time I can spend with them and how to see my friends. But then sometimes I actually find that I run into the opposite problem, where my parents really want to be conscious of spending time with my friends, which I really appreciate. But sometimes I also do like when they just go ahead and like plan things for mm-hmm. us all to do, because I still love hanging out with them and don't really get to do things with my family at all. So if they say yeah. like, hey, we're getting dinner tonight, or we're doing this like holiday thing, I also love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the
right,
same
so
thing, like
combination.
It's a balance.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I imagine you also want to have some time just hanging out at home, as well as maybe going out to eat or other plans.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any holiday traditions that you're looking forward to having Margot home for?
Well, she made me promise to wait to put ornaments on the tree until she gets home.
Yes.
So that's great, but she's coming home Wednesday, so the tree is just sitting there with
no ornaments.
But I'm really looking forward to that, and then we always bake cookies too.
Oh, that'll be so
Can't
nice.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I'll let you get back to it, but it's really fun to hear your voices. Can't wait to see you
great.
In the spring.
Yes.
And we know it's going to be a great EWO season coming up.
Yes, us too. Thank you so much for calling in.
EWO.
Absolutely. Have a great break, you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was great.
She's so nice.
Yeah. The Urheims are a lovely family that really supports the EWO in full-fledged, I would say.
There were like 18 of us at their house, and they had beds for all of us.
Yeah.
Food for all of us.
Incredible.
Drove us to our games.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking more about her question, and I think the thing I kind of expect most from my parents is just to treat me like an adult, I guess, which my parents have done a wonderful job of, and kind of understanding that when I'm at college, I go by my own schedule, and so it can be kind of hard to be back under your parents' roof again, but And if your parents don't do that, then you can just have a conversation with them and be like, hey, you know, during the year, I am totally independent and I'd love to have a little more independence at home.
Right. I think it's really interesting coming home and seeing my parents adjust to me getting older.
Yeah.
And no longer having a curfew. Like throughout high school, I had an 11 p.m. curfew in my house. And then I got home and that had vanished. Right. And it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because they understand now that we have totally different lives.
Right.
And they actually want to spend time with us, I think, in a different way than we got to before.
Very true.
Yeah.
What do you have any holiday traditions that you're looking forward to?
Honestly, our biggest one is probably skiing.
Mm.
But I also am going to see my sister, which I'm excited about. She's a high school senior right now.
Ooh, same as Nancy's sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's been applying to college.
Wow.
Not Tufts. We don't really.
Specifically.
We don't know a lot of details.
Okay.
Because my sister goes to boarding school.
Gotcha.
In New Hampshire. So, and it's really in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
It's in the White Mountains.
Do you ever see her?
No.
Is it by the lodge?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Tufts actually owns this. Yeah. Tufts University owns a lodge that is in New Hampshire, and it is maintained and run by a club called Tufts Mountain Club. And you can be part of the club and go up there and stay at this beautiful lodge in New Hampshire. And that's so fun. And it's like in the White Mountains. And so, wow, so your sister's in boarding school near there.
Yeah, she's actually two exits up on the freeway from the lodge. So one time I had the van and we all decided, let's go visit your sister. So I texted her and said, are you at your school right now?
Mm-hmm.
And received no response.
Oh, no.
And then we got a call from the lodge saying, hey, it's getting dark. Like, you guys should come back.
Yeah.
So we came back. She texted me 2 hours later saying, I am in Seattle. So luckily we made the call and did not go visit her.
Yeah.
But I actually don't really get to see her that much.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of interested to see how her applications have been going because we really have not heard a lot about how they are.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be really nice.
Do you think being from the West Coast, going to school on the East Coast, she'll kind of average them and only apply to Midwest schools?
She's applying to UC Boulder, so it is possible.
Okay, I would call Boulder a West Coast,
you would
not
say that's
a Midwest.
Coast, though?
Okay, it's West.
That's true. You are from the Midwest.
In, yes.
I think she's mostly looking at schools that are like very outdoorsy.
Gotcha.
Because her
Good
school is in the mountains.
Yeah.
Their thing is rock climbing.
Ooh.
They have a massive rock climbing gym in the school, which
wow.
is amazing. And she's just really into being outside.
That's great.
So she's applying to Boulder, Western Washington University. I think she's looking at University of Vermont, just places that she can be like outside a lot.
Yeah, that's great. And you've been part of the Tufts Mountain Club, correct?
I have.
How was your experience with that?
Honestly, it has been great because I think the best thing about it is it requires as much commitment as you want to give it.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately decided I wanted to get van certified because I have no transportation here.
Yeah.
So I took the test and I was able to drive six of my friends up to the lodge immediately. We all
That's
went on
great.
A hike and it's such an amazing resource that the school has.
Yeah.
Because you are in such a bubble here.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time you don't realize that it's getting to you until you leave.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And just being able to actually be on a mountain or be sitting in a cabin where you're making your own food.
Yeah.
You're playing board games with your friends. Like you're just sitting around. It is so nice.
Yeah.
And I just, every time I'm driving there, I just feel this relief like washing over me.
Right. You're kind of like letting the school wash off and getting ready to emerge into the wilderness.
Right. And I think because it's whatever commitment you want to be, people are very welcoming to you going because there's no expectation that you have been before.
Right.
And I think that's one thing I wish more people knew is you really don't need hiking experience to go. You don't need to think of yourself as outdoorsy because there's also plenty of people who just go to hang out and sit inside and it's still really nice.
Yeah. I'm actually not part of the Tufts Mountain Club.
Yeah.
I haven't paid my due. Like, it's not even a financial thing that's holding me back. It's that during the spring, there's almost no weekends that we have off from Frisbee that we can go up to the lodge. And if we do have a weekend off, I usually would just want to kind of stay on campus.
Sleep in because
yeah. It's our one weekend. But I have been to the lodge for the wilderness, the Tufts Wilderness Orientation, and it is absolutely lovely.
It's so nice.
It's just, I was there for 5 days of training, and then the entire orientation, that was my base camp. So I was there for 10 days.
Wow.
And there's a river nearby called the Pemmi, and it is just so beautiful. I would love to see it in winter, though.
Yeah.
I think that would be really nice.
I haven't actually seen it with snow, because I usually try to go in the fall,
mm-hmm.
because last spring I also was busy every weekend.
Right.
So in the winter, I knew that I had to get there before that.
Yeah.
And it also is so beautiful with the leaves changing.
Yeah.
It's also on the West Coast, a lot of the leaves don't change.
Right. You
because
got those
evergreens.
Evergreens.
Yeah. But over here, the entire thing is on fire. It's gotcha. Stunning.
Yeah. Also, the drive up to the lodge is quite beautiful with the leaves changing. I have to say that... fall on the East Coast is really, really beautiful, but spring in the Midwest is really something special because spring is when all of the agriculture starts popping up and it's wonderful, and also just flowers absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
Because we have that great soil, that great Midwest soil, and it, I mean, it depends on the season how early it goes. I guess it's similar to Boston, but it's really, really nice when the snow finally melts and the grass goes from that kind of gross brown color to bright green. And I was describing this to like someone from California, and they were just stunned and were shocked and go, "Oh yeah, I guess, you know, winter is brown for other people and summer's green," and it's the opposite in California.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's brown in the summer because everything's dried up,
mm-hmm.
Which is so interesting.
Do you live near a lot of actual farms?
So I live in Iowa City, which is a university town. I describe it very similarly to Cambridge without Boston nearby. So Cambridge is kind of a vibrant city on its own, even mm-hmm. without Boston. Obviously, Boston is like a huge metropolis. But I would say that the university is really the center of Iowa City, and I live in kind of the outskirts. Like, I don't live on campus. That being said, I live about 7-minute drive from campus.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, there are like cornfields basically surrounding my house, because I live basically on a corner of Iowa City.
Right.
And so south of me is just more farmland. And then my friends who kind of live in the north of Iowa City have more woods by them.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of do, there's actually a cornfield across the street from my elementary school, which is a little bit embarrassing.
That's so funny.
But I personally do not have any connection to farmers or the agriculture.
So is your family involved at the university then?
So that's a good question. We are probably the only family in Iowa City that has no correlation to the university.
Wow.
We moved to Iowa for my dad's job in Cedar Rapids, which is about 30 minutes away. And but my parents decided to live in Iowa City because it's a way better place for education and a better place for just like culture in general. Okay, I think we're getting speaking of Iowa, we're getting a caller from the 319 district, which is Iowa City itself. So here we go. Caller, are you with us?
I think she was pretty clear.
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
I can hear you.
Is this Daniel?
Yes, it is. I live in the north of Iowa City near the woods.
Incredible. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing well. I haven't spoken to you in a very long time.
I know. I haven't spoken to you either. For Fina and other people who don't know, Daniel and I went to high school together. He's one of my very good friends. And so, Daniel, do you want to tell everyone what you're studying and what you've been up to?
Well, I go to the University of Iowa. Unlike you, I stayed around.
You did.
And I have been doing electrical engineering for the last 3 years.
Incredible.
And I don't know, just kind of hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Really enjoying all the engineering work that we get to do. You know?
Incredible. Are you happy to be done for the semester?
Yes, and I'm happy that you're coming home soon.
I know. I'm excited to see you this Thursday.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever listened to your talk show.
All right.
I guess I've seen your snap stories of it. I didn't really put two and two together, but I know you're like an adventurous person, but mm-hmm. how did you end up having your own little talk show? Or like, what made you interested in that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to set the stage, I think of this talk show as a wonderful podium where I can just kind of broadcast my thoughts, but really no one's listening. it's unfortunate because there are people listening, and so when I mess up like I did today and I talk over music by accident, then those kind of faults come through. But so I was really excited about just kind of having an opportunity to talk people's ear off, and people can shut me off if they want, but I can just keep on talking. And so I heard about this organization. It's just like a club on campus, basically. It's called WMFO, and it's basically for people who are really into music, I would say. Like, most people who have shows are kind of into the music scene at Tufts, which is pretty big. We have something called Apple Jam that does like concerts and stuff. And so but I kind of took the model of, you know, playing songs and then stopping a little bit in between to talk about the song, and kind of flipped that on its head and just talked for most of it, and then just play one song when I get tired and then back to talking.
Sure. I've been listening for a while, and I think I've only heard Frank Sinatra play.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm okay with that.
And so it's a pretty easy process to get a show. They have kind of a general interest meeting at the beginning of every semester, and then you sign up. You do like a bunch of online like portal sign up stuff, and then you train on someone's show for 2 weeks, and you learn how to do the board, and you learn all the rules and kind of what the station's all about. And then you apply for a show, and almost everyone gets one because there are slots every hour of every day of the week. And my show is normally Thursday morning, 6 a.m. every other Thursday. So there's even more slots because people trade off weeks. So that's kind of how I got involved.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What has been the most, were you nervous at all, like when you started, or what has been like, the most embarrassing thing that's happened on there?
Yeah, so basically my only embarrassing moments have involved the answering of phone calls. So today was a little embarrassing because I was just kind of floundering for a full minute and a half. But then on my very first show, also, something is you're supposed to talk to someone off air and then bring them on air, but that's kind of harder logistically. And one thing we have at the station is if you're downstairs at the station and you need to have someone come get you, you call up to the station, and the DJ is not supposed to put you on air, and then you just go down and get them. But my first week, someone called up and I put them on air, and they go, "Oh, hi, it's Michelle. I'm downstairs. Can you come get me?" And I'm like, "Ah, thank you, caller." And I turned them off and went to go get them. But that was pretty embarrassing. Other than that, it's just kind of me talking with my guests and playing some music.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Proud of you.
Yeah, and I have to say that this has definitely been one of the more lively shows because it's in the evening. Normally 6 a.m. doesn't get a ton of callers, but I will say my dad has woken up for every single show, and that's 5 a.m. Iowa time. He is my most dedicated listener.
That's sweet of him.
Yes.
You've been asking a lot of people their plans for winter break. What are your plans for winter break?
What are my plans for winter break? So I am going to be sticking around Iowa City for a while, and then I am going to go to Chicago for my brother's wedding on January 7th.
Giving a speech.
Yes, giving a speech. And then from there, I'll be going to Philly. Well, actually, I don't know if I'm coming home for a few days, but I am going to Philly, and I will visit my roommate from last year. And then I will come to school, and we have a sophomore career conference 2 days before school starts that I'm going to go to.
You're going to the conference?
I am going to the conference.
Wow.
Because we have a good friend, Aubrey, who works for the Career Center, and so I thought it would be nice to go to that. So, yeah, those are my plans.
Cool. Sounds good. I have a lot of free days here before I'm actually going to go ski. As you were talking about the lodge, that sounds like an amazing resource.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I could go there. What would you suggest I do in Iowa on days that I have nothing planned?
On days that you have nothing planned. Well, listeners who have been with us from the beginning, we heard from Ted earlier today. And I know you already spend a lot of time with our good friend Ted, but that's never wasted time with Ted, so I would just, that'd be my first recommendation, just call that guy up. And then I know you're a big fan of, we have something called the Woodpecker Trail, and it's just really nice hiking by Iowa City. You could do that. Also, lately at Tufts, I've been getting really into watercolor painting.
Oh.
Daniel and I once, Daniel, do you remember when we painted in my garage?
Yep, I have that painting hanging in my room. I was actually going to ask you if you wanted to paint when you get back.
I would love to paint when we get home. But that's with acrylics, but I would really like to do some watercolor painting at home because I've gotten really into that at school lately. So,
Is that like, do you do that on canvas or do you do it on some other like? Paper?
I just do it on like normal paper. And my watercolors are actually just like Crayola watercolors from Walmart. But it's fun, you know, and watercolors, you can't really mess up. You can, but you just kind of, it's very flowy and nice.
What do you like to draw with them? Paint.
If you mess up, you just say, I meant that.
Exactly. What do I like to paint? I don't know. I think watercolors adhere pretty nicely to landscape. So, do you remember before our Frisbee tournament, the Get Ho Ho Ho'd, there was a beautiful sunrise?
Oh, there was.
It was like this crazy orange sapphire sky. And so I painted that. And then also, I kind of have this image of my head of we have a kind of paint your own pottery store in Iowa City called All Fired Up, and there's one wall with all the paints displayed, and so my next thing I want to paint is kind of a painting of all the colors displayed on a shelf.
Oh.
And have like little bottles of each color.
That'd be cool.
So yeah, that's my next project.
Are they on your wall?
No, I've been painting them in my journal lately, actually.
Oh.
But if I do them on free paper, I will hang them up on my wall. Yeah. So, Daniel, do you have any parting words you'd like to say?
I'd just like to say that I think this radio show is really cool, and I'm going to try to challenge your dad into being the number one fan of the show.
Oh, man, I can't wait. That's a hard status to beat, but I truly believe in you.
All right, thank you for taking my call.
All right, bye, Daniel.
Bye.
Yes, callers are fun, you know?
Yeah.
I think we actually had another one from a 720 area code while Daniel was on. So caller, I don't know who you are, but if you want to call back, feel free to do so and we'll put you right on air. Let's see. So the men's frisbee team was really supposed to stop by and they are dropping the ball.
Yikes.
But, Fina, do you have any song requests?
Ooh, I don't know.
What type of music do you like, generally?
I listen to a diverse range of stuff. So I listen to some rap.
Okay.
I've been really into Chance, Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Soul is a Seattle rapper. Most people have not heard of, but he's good. And then I also listen to some alt, some electronic. I really like Flume in Odessa and Muramasa. So kind of a wide range.
What's a Flume song you would recommend?
Ooh.
One that doesn't have swear words in it.
I was just listening to one. I think it's called Tiny Cities. Say It is a good one, but I think that might not be suitable for the air.
I wonder if they have a radio version.
Yeah.
Say It by... Oh, no. I think that's not by Flume. Okay. Wait, so what are... Maybe we can just play...
let's see.
You Drop the Game. Do you know that?
I do not know that one.
Or You and Me.
That one is really good.
Is that a popular one? Would I know that? Okay, we'll play a little You and Me. So up next is You and Me by Flume.
And that was with Disclosure too, I think.
Be
So that was a little Stevie Wonder with Sign, Seal, Deliver. That's one of those songs that just makes me instantly happy. You know, you hear like the drop at the beginning, the like dun 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 dun, you know, and you're just like, all right, I'm gonna dance. Yeah. So what other we were talking about Flume before, you like them, and are you a big Macklemore fan because of Seattle?
Yeah, I would say I am. I don't think his new album is his best, mm-hmm. but I think some of his old stuff is really cool.
That's cool.
And I think that's kind of a shared sentiment. In Seattle, we really liked him when he was ours and when he was smaller.
Right.
And just as he got big, a lot of people really kind of cooled off of him. But it was cool initially because we all got to see him in smaller venues.
Yeah.
And now if you want to see Macklemore, he's probably in a stadium or like the biggest venue in whatever city.
For
but it is also really cool because you hear these huge songs that are top 40 and they're about places you've grown up.
That's
and things you recognize.
That's really
so
cool.
So that is one of the reasons I still like him.
That's
like
awesome.
I would stand by being a fan, I think.
Yeah.
Even though he's super mainstream now.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Would you describe yourself as a Macklemore fan?
Not like especially. I mean, I don't really like listen to a lot of his stuff. I enjoy his songs that everyone enjoys, you know, the songs that like make it to the top. I guess I enjoy. I do respect him. I think he has a lot of values, and it's cool. He has a lot of Seattle pride, but I wouldn't call myself a huge fan.
Do you have any Iowan music artists that
any
you know
Iowan
of?
Any Iowan music artists? We do not. But I was actually talking about this earlier. There is a movie coming out about something that happened in my high school my freshman year. So unfortunately, this is actually a very sad story. My freshman year, there was a star volleyball player slash just like very charismatic, kind, warm-hearted girl named Caroline found, who was a senior, about to be a senior, and she passed away in a freak moped accident. And it really like shocked all of Iowa City. And a lot of things happened after that in Iowa City. Kind of the whole city was mourning altogether. But also something that happened was the volleyball, like she was a star volleyball player. So the volleyball team had won state the year before, and we have like a great volleyball program. And so everyone thought, oh, the volleyball team like won't be very good, da da da.
Right.
And they actually went on to win state against our hometown rival, you know, like classic, took 5 sets to do it in the finals, and you know, is that story. And it made national news. There was an HBO special, and now the director, who Sean McNamara, I think, who made Soul Surfer, is making a movie about it. And
that's cool.
Has actually already made the movie, and the trailer just came out last week. That's why it's kind of on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so the weirdest thing is they went to our high school and they modeled everything on the set to look exactly like our high school. So this gym that all these scenes are being shot in looks exactly like our high school gym.
Whoa.
And it's like super weird.
Yeah.
But it's called The Miracle Season. And so that'll come out in April.
Well, that's cool.
So that's, I guess, something that came out of Iowa City. But kind of definitely a sad story.
Right.
And it's interesting because for people who kind of lived through that event, the focus of the event was always like remembering Caroline and kind of honoring her and kind of her life. And I think it's hard because the movie doesn't really focus on her. It mostly focuses on the volleyball team. So it's kind of an interesting thing to see after living through the event.
Yeah.
Okay, we actually have another caller from a 917 district. I don't actually know where that is. So here we go. Caller, are you with us? Hello?
Yo.
Is this Emily?
Yo.
Oh my god.
Yo.
Hello. Do you have any words to share with us?
Would you like to make a statement?
Okay. Caller, if you have anything to say, we'd love to hear from you. But if not, I guess we'll just go back to chatting just me and Vina. All right.
Huh.
You know, you always get some funky callers, I guess. but you know what I'd love to do if I had my own radio show? Have like little giveaways, you know, like 10th caller, and then I'll just like have them count the callers. But I guess I would need a big staff, you know, to answer people like, you didn't win, sorry. And then
what would you give away?
I don't know. What's like a good radio giveaway?
Usually the concert tickets.
Yeah.
Are the
I don't have those type of resources. Oh, now it's another caller. Should we try this again, Fien?
Sure.
Should we bring him on?
Who?
I don't know who it is. It's a 646. Do you recognize that?
I don't think I know 646.
Right. Caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello. What's your name, caller?
Megan Wilson.
Oh, hello, Megan Wilson. Is that your real name?
That is my real name. This is funny because I'm listening on air, but I'm a little behind. So it's like a time loop sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a lag. So, Megan Wilson, do you have anything to tell the listeners?
I do, actually. I would like the world to know that Ashton Kutcher is from Iowa.
Oh, you're so right.
I was listening to your segment. I know he's not a musician, but you were asking about famous musicians from Iowa, and then that inspired me to do some Google searching and try and look up some famous musicians, and I couldn't find any. But I did find that Ashton Kutcher is from Iowa. So
that's true. He's actually from a place called Clear Creek, Amana, and went to a high school kind of down the road. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. But his parents actually moved from Amana to Iowa City, and he, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis are huge Hawkeye fans and will come to Hawkeye basketball games actually all the time, and their parents have season tickets. And so I've been to a couple Hawkeye basketball games and like seen them, which is crazy, but they like really don't like it when people come up and ask for pictures.
Wow. So I always learn something when I call into this show. 100% of the time that I've called in, I've learned something.
Great.
About Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, every time you call in, we'll learn something else about Ashton Kutcher.
That could be your like perk for calling in. Like, you can't do giveaways, but you can do Ashton Kutcher facts as long
That's
as they revolve around his Iowa upbringing.
You're so right. What a good piece of advice for our future shows, really.
That's all I have for you, but I thought I would give my 2 cents.
Great. I appreciate you calling in.
Means a lot to hear.
Before you go, have you seen any good movies lately?
Have I seen any good movies lately? Oh, I have, actually.
What movie?
I saw this movie recently, and I just can't remember what it's called.
Hmm.
So I'll need your help.
I bet we could help out with that.
So it's about these two male figure skaters, as a lot of my favorite movies are.
Yes, they often start with that.
Yes, and they're very competitive with one another, but it gets to a point where it just gets extremely violent.
Ooh, I actually think I think I know what movie you're talking about.
Do you?
Yeah, is it Blades of Gory?
Yes, it is.
That's a classic film. It's really well done.
Classic film, yeah. I first saw it at Sundance, actually, but I think it's getting, it's gaining some steam. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll hit the mainstream theater soon enough.
All right. I have to go now because I have this radio show that has 10 minutes left and I'm trying to tune in for the end.
Okay. Yeah, you better catch that radio show.
Yeah, you should
show.
Prioritize.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
It's been great.
Bye, Megan Wilson.
Goodbye.
Bye, Molly from Iowa City, Iowa.
Well, that was fun. For those of you listening who aren't part of the Tufts Frisbee program, her Frisbee name is Moose, and it's one of the most ubiquitous name, I would say. Like, almost everyone calls her Moose.
I've very rarely heard her called Megan Wilson in any context.
Yeah. So Moose always has wonderful movies to share, and they always sound kind of like a mainstream movie, but she's really up with those Sundance films.
Yeah, she's really in the scene.
Yeah. She's very hip with the movies. So I actually want to play a Billy Joel song because it's also one of those songs. I think Billy Joel generally just kind of gets you dancing, I would say.
I would agree.
Oh, but before we do that, we're going to do a little PSA. So here is a public service announcement about financial literacy.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
All right, that was a little PSA. And now we're going to play a little Billy Joel, and this is The Longest Time by Billy Joel.
Whoa, for the longest time. Whoa, for the longest time.
If you said goodbye to me tonight, there would still I do. I'm so inspired by you that
That was For the Longest Time by Billy Joel. He is just a classic, I would say. I'm a big Billy Joel fan.
Yeah.
Piano Man is a good one. So we're getting to the end of our double edition 2-hour show. It's really gone so quickly.
Yeah.
Sophina, what do you think about your time on the show?
I have really enjoyed myself.
I'm so glad.
I'm going to say I was a little nervous about the format. I was wondering if I was going to be grilled in an interview. But I think the setup is really cool.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.